I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's Sal Capaccio.
Filling up right behind the Bills bench right now with their flags and their hey, 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 hey.
Hey, hey, hey,
hey. Hey, hey,
hey, hey.
Let's go Buffalo chant.
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
Just wondering what the threshold is you have to meet to get a personal day from the Bills. Like to get an excused absence that they call personal. It can't just be anything, right?
No, I don't think it can just be anything.
Something serious in the family, of course, would,
sure, yeah,
would qualify.
Yeah, yeah. But, yeah, I don't think just anything.
Like, I haven't been to Darien Lake yet this year.
Yeah,
would not qualify.
Yeah, or, you know, my kid has band practice. No.
What about a sick pet?
Hire a car service or something. I don't know.
What about a sick pet? We don't need to throw out hypotheticals, but Sal, any idea what it takes without sounding insincere or anything? I don't mean to, but just like, can anybody get an excused absence, or does it, you know, have to be to meet a pretty serious standard, if you know?
Well, I think anybody could get one, but I think it would have to meet a serious standard. Yeah, I mean, what is serious, though? We know that players have had those because they had children, like their wife or girlfriend was having a baby. We know that there's been deaths in the family, things like that, right? I mean, and then there could be a legal situation they have to tend to. There's a lot of things that could happen. So I'm sure, you know, there's got to be, you bring it to them and then they decide, like, hey, yeah, that qualifies for you to not be here today.
Yeah, like, for example, the Cowboys kicker last week had jury duty, didn't he?
Yep.
Like, yes, he did. Yes, I mean, that's right.
I don't know, this is not even the sort of thing you really got to ask. I think you have I got to go do this. Guys, can I go? Sure.
Lamar Jackson had today off. They called it a rest day. He was apparently or reportedly dealing with some sort of nagging injury, but they called it a rest day. Like, you know, probably different standards for different players, too.
Yeah, that's a tricky one because if you have an injury that you're getting treatment on, as you guys know, I've explained, you have to be listed on the injury report with that injury. If it's just a rest day, it's a rest day. But like the Bills will typically write rest/ankle if it's something in addition to the rest day, like last week with Terrell Bernard, for example, right? So, or that was personal/ankle, but you get the point.
Yep.
So, you know, if you're just going to be a veteran rest day, then it's generally, last week was Daquan Jones, I think it was. That's who it was. Or maybe a Smoot. It was rest/injury. So those things are always tricky because this is actually something really interesting that has been coming up a lot lately, guys, which is the injury report. And I actually think I might write something on it on X because there's like a lot of people who just maybe are really kind of freaking out about the number of injuries on the injury reports. And I will just tell you that the league is cracking down. Because of gambling, you have to list like anybody with anything. And everybody's got like a lot of guys now, it seems like. And the Dolphins, they have 16 guys on their injury report,
yeah,
right?
All across the league, the injury reports. I mean, I don't follow every beat writer.
That's right.
Or a beat writer for every team, I should say. But, you know, I follow plenty of them. And a lot of the national people that I follow will retweet them. So I'm seeing injury reports for maybe half the teams in the league every week. And there's like a dozen names or more on every one, it seems.
And this is like, remember back in the day, you'd kind of like snicker because Bill Belichick would do that because they got mad at him one time for not listing Brady. So it's like, well, we'll list everybody. Well, now they get mad at you for anybody for not doing that. It's born mostly out of gambling, to be quite honest.
Sure. Well, because if a guy's got something minor and they're only doing some of the stuff on Wednesday, that could turn into something more serious on Thursday or Friday or even by Sunday. So everyone's got to know so they can be aware that it could be possible that this guy might not play.
That's right. So if I look at the Bills,
was there
Bills
enough
have,
qualifiers on that? Could
yeah, there you go. That's right. What do the Bills have today? Like 18, 19 names, right? But it's funny. They've that many names, but literally no players on the active roster did not practice due to injury today. Right. Just the one personal day. Everybody else practiced.
That was Alex Anderson, I believe.
Alec, yep.
Alec Anderson, sorry. Mm-hmm. Amari Cooper is on the injury report. What happened to him?
Yeah. Very interesting today. We went to the media session with Sean McDermott at noon, and he said Terrell Bernard would be limited and Curtis Samuel would be limited as they work their way back. And then he said Amari Cooper's dealing with a wrist injury. He won't practice today. We're going to take it one day at a time. So obviously you're thinking, okay, let's hope this does, you know, this is not anything serious. We went out. He was with the wide receivers in uniform practicing. We're like, wait a minute, what's going on here? So watched him. I have some video. He was taking his warm-up reps. The question then becomes, does he take team reps? Because that's how an injury report limited and did not practice is decided. You could take all of your individual team individual position work reps. If you don't take any team reps, you can still be listed technically as a did not practice. It would be rare for that to happen, but it could happen. At the end of the practice, he was listed as limited. So I would say that that's very encouraging, obviously. And look, I mean, people say, how could Sean McDermott not know? My guess is what would normally happen there is, you know, this has happened a few times over the years we've talked about. It's not normal, but Sean probably gets an update from the trainers in the morning. Hey, Amari's got a wrist issue. Let's just kind of take it easy on him today. He's not going to practice. And then he meets with us. He tells us that. And then by the time they go out there, a half hour later, maybe Amari met with the trainers. Hey, I'm feeling better. I want to give it a go today. Okay, let's try it. That could very well explain that.
Yeah, yeah. I understand why that could be confusing from a standpoint of shouldn't the coach know everything? But that timeline explanation from you seems completely plausible to me, like a thing that could happen. I had one other injury thing I wanted to ask you about, and now it slipped my mind here. Over to you, Mike. Sorry.
Well, Von Miller, you want to ask about him? Because he's not an injury. I don't know if that was on.
No, I know. No, it was Milano. Thank you. Thank you.
Oh, great.
Yeah,
I'm glad
Milano,
you asked.
I saw a back and forth you had with one person who seemed to think McDermott sounded pessimistic about it or something, and I didn't get that vibe at all. He talked about it last week, too, and it seems like arrows pointing up on Milano. I mean, there's still no date here. They're not telling you week 15 or anything, but it feels like they expect him to come back at some point.
Yeah, so here's the issue, and I get it. I get why this can happen. Again, it's lost in translation. There's context that has to be involved. What happened was Josh Reed, our buddy from Channel 4, asked Sean McDermott. The question was, can you give us an update on Matt Milano? And he asked him in the form this way, and if there's still some hope that he can return this season. And Sean said, there is. And then he went into a lot more, which I tweeted and I did the transcript. So what I tweeted was Sean McDermott said there is still some hope for Matt Milano. People took that as meaning, oh, just some hope? Oh, my God, he's not coming back. Right? They're like, oh, you know, very pessimistic. Mm-hmm. That's not what happened. If you look at the full Q&A, if you go back and listen, I get the context and why I had to clarify for people to make sure everybody knew. He was really, to me, very optimistic about it, not pessimistic. And he said, you know, he's been a positive influence. He's been around the team. He's been at the games on the sidelines. He said, and I think we're moving in the right direction. Any more detail on that, I couldn't give you right now, but he did sound very encouraging on Matt Milano. So yeah, that's why I had to clarify, because he didn't use the word there's some hope. What he did was answer a question was, hey, is there some hope? Yes, there is. Right. And that's what happened.
So when you tweet, Sean McDermott said there's some hope that he could come back. It's like people think you're quoting, like, Dumb and Dumber or something, right? Like, you're saying there's a chance.
That's right, yeah. So I deleted that original one and just kind of clarified with the full transcript so everybody could get the full context.
Okay. Well, you brought up Von Miller. So, like, what's the situation there? And is there any roster machinations that have to happen there?
There is not. So Von Miller is back at practice. He's not counting in the 53 right now, though. The Bills have a roster exemption through next weekend, so through the game. However, this is another thing that confused everybody last night, but I looked into it, made sure. So here's the deal. The Bills only have 52 players on their roster right now. That's because they put Dwayne Carter on IR last week. They did not replace him. Von Miller is not counting on their roster. They have a roster exemption. However, once they activate him for the game, he will count on the roster. So they have a choice. They can activate him for the game and he will play. That has to be done by Saturday at 4 p.m. And there's your 53 guys. And that's the maximum you can have. Or they can choose to not activate him and sign somebody else or trade for somebody else. But then he wouldn't play on Sunday. He's going to be activated by Saturday at 4 p.m., and they're going to have 53 guys, and that's where that's going to land.
How does a player work out or as far as you know, in this case, Von Miller, mm-hmm. when he's on suspension for 4 weeks?
You do it on your own. You have that's up to you to basically, you know, do what you need to do.
But he's not, and, like, as it was said today, he's back with the team. So I guess the 4 weeks is kind of a banishment.
Like, he has to be away.
He can't be in their weight room or anything.
That is correct. So when you are suspended by the NFL for personal conduct violation or gambling, anything other than substance abuse, violation of the substance abuse policies, you cannot be at the facility. Now, I shouldn't say it that strictly. There might be something else in there, right? But basically, any sort of personal conduct policy violation, you cannot be at the team facility. You are away. You are suspended without pay by the league. Then you can come back when the suspension is over. If it's for a substance abuse issue, they do allow, and I don't think this has changed. I know it was in the past. They do allow you to be at the facility because the facility has treatment for you.
Right.
And there's people there you can talk to and see, which would make sense, right? So he was not allowed to be at the facility for 4 weeks.
And so, I mean, just cursory observation, but, you know, maybe he's fresher. He didn't have any football wear and tear over those four games, and he was showing some signs before he went away.
I agree. I mean, I thought he played really well before he was suspended, and it's going to be a nice boost for the Bills. And at his age, you get him back now, that's halfway through the season. The load management they're already doing with him, they'll probably continue to do with him. I think, you know, this is a situation where he comes back pretty fresh, like you said. And look, I think Von Miller, Hall of Famer, guy that's been known to, you know, take care of his body really well, I would have no questions that he did that during his time away. And he's going to come back like that. It's the same thing I think about Matt Milano from the standpoint of he hurt his bicep, right? So he actually got an extra several months with the leg injury that he was coming back from. So when he comes back, he'll actually be even maybe stronger and better with the leg than, you know, what would have happened originally if he had not hurt his bicep. So, I mean, guys, we could be looking at over the next 5 weeks, let's say. I don't know. I'm just putting my own rough timeline on it. This is not from the Bills. We could be looking at maybe the next 5 weeks. Maybe they have an addition of Von Miller and Matt Milano, who are both of, you know, good health coming back.
Sal Capaccio on the Wester Hotline pouring over the news of the day from Bills practice. They're getting ready to host the Miami Dolphins on Sunday at 1 o'clock. How about the Dolphins, Sal? They get Tua back. The offense at least got off the mat in this loss against Arizona, but it was still yet again another loss for them. So I don't know. They got to be feeling some urgency to get up and running here at 2-5.
Guys, I would say it this way, not just urgency. I think their season's pretty much on the line this weekend. I really do. I don't know. Now, mathematically, could they still make the playoffs if they lose this game? Of course, right? We've seen maybe similar kind of situations happen, but I just think it's such a tough uphill climb. And, you know, if you're dropping that far back, you're not going to win the division. We would know that. You'd have to beat the teams in your conference. Now, it is a little bit softer right now in that part of it to make it. But, man, I just don't know how they climb out of it. I think this is really their season here. And what's interesting is, you know, I do follow every week. I check in on the media members from the opposing team to see what's going on. And really the theme coming out from Miami this week is, A, season's on the line. Like, they have to go to Buffalo and pull off the upset, or it's probably lights out. But the other thing that's been coming up a lot is, how did they get here? Like, yes, Tua's hurt. We know that, and that obviously hurt their season. But more than that, the big picture, they were literally, you know, two quarters away from winning the division from the Bills last year. And this was supposed to be the year maybe where they got to level or pass them after what's happened the last few years. But there is now a chasm that has been created in how wide the gap is getting. And it feels like there's just no overcoming that because of their cap situation and their roster situation.
Which does turn hard the other way if they were to win this one game, you know, like finally winning up here and, you know, then maybe they're looking at last year and they're like, well, it happened to us. So
that's right.
I don't know. What's interesting, one thing that's interesting about the AFC standings right now, so Miami is 2-5. There are six teams worse than that in the AFC. 2-6, 1-6. So including the Dolphins, I've got 9 teams, 7 make it, that, you know, are better than 2-5 is all. That includes Cincinnati at 3-5, and then you'd have Indianapolis at 4-4. Everybody else right now has a playoff record. And so I know, like, last week I was hot on this, and the Dolphins and the Jets both lost. But there's still enough season here for one of Jacksonville. I mean, for one of these teams that's down like that to get in.
Heck, I'll give you a team. I think Cleveland, right? What they did last week against Baltimore. I mean, they have a good defense, and if Jameis Winston can, you know, not, you know, be a turnover machine, I think they have a look at it. I think that they could win some games. The problem is they're in a very tough division. But you're right, Mike. I mean, with Joe Flacco, you never know. I think next week, that's a much tougher game for the Bills against Indy with Joe Flacco instead of Anthony Richardson. I believe that. I think Joe Flacco really is the better quarterback for them right now. But you're right. I mean, a couple of these teams string together a couple of wins, and suddenly you're right back in the thick of it. I mean, the Chargers are holding down the last spot at 4-3 right now. I mean, that can't be too threatening if you're trying to climb back into it. Denver's 5-3, and they haven't played Kansas City yet. So you figure maybe that's two losses for them if you're on the outside looking in.
Yeah, and at some point I'm just going to have to make friends with the idea that the Steelers might just stay in there. Because like up until last week, I think I would have included them with the Chargers and Denver. Like, oh, come on. Three of these teams that are in spots right now aren't really going to be playoff teams, are they? Come on. I mean, Pittsburgh just keeps finding a way.
Have you looked at their schedule, though, after the
bye? I know it is super hard. Brutal. Yes, it's
brutal.
It is,
and they have four division games in a row, and they have to play all the division games still. They have not played a division game yet. It's unbelievable. They get the Ravens twice, the Browns twice, and the Bengals twice the rest of the way, on top of Kansas City, Philadelphia, and the Washington Commanders. It's going to be tough for them, but they put themselves in a nice position here.
I'm glad we got to the Steelers because you just sent us a message about something that happened in their game the other night that I don't think has come up. I didn't get to it at all yesterday. And the George Pickens 2 feet down, but it was the same foot twice, and that's not the same as 2 feet down. You polled some Bills skill players about this?
I did. I just was really curious I could predict the results of an informal poll, which is the defenders are going to say, yeah, no way that can be a catch. And the receivers and pass catchers will say, of course that should be a catch. We should change that rule. That's pretty much what happened today. What I did was I went in the locker room after the practice or outside the locker room, saw some guys. I go, all right, I got a question for you. Did you see the George Pickens non-catch? Some had seen it, some hadn't. So I showed them on my phone, or I explained to them and was showing them and saying, well, this is what happened. And he got the right foot down, then he was pushed, and he got another right foot down, and then his butt hit out of bounds. And really, as you would expect, it was divided amongst offensive and defensive, you know, lines. But there were, like, Terrell Bernard's like, man, that's just like, yeah, I mean, I can understand. Like, you should probably give him the catch maybe, but hey, that's the rule.
Right.
You know, Matt Collins was very upset about it because he said, look, that is the rule. But he said a couple years ago he got two toes down, and then when his heels hit out of bounds, he was called for out of bounds, and he thought that was unfair.
I've seen that, yes.
Yeah, Cam Lewis. But the funniest was Cam Lewis and KJ Hamler were kind of really in a very fun way going at it. Like, KJ Hamler was beside himself. He had no idea, guys. I showed him. And he didn't even know that was the rule. He's like, what are you talking about? How is that not a catch?
Sal,
I just told Mike,
after you sent the message, that if I'd been in a bar watching that game without the sound on, watching that highlight over and over again, I might have been standing on my stool yelling, that's a catch. 1 foot, 2 feet.
Right.
What are we even doing here? Like, it's one of these deals where you watch this sport your whole life and think you know the rules and go like, oh. I blame all the replay reviews for what is a catch, because they often go 1 foot, 2 foot. And I know that's usually a left and a right, or then a right and a left, or whatever. It's, you know, each of the feet represented equally as touching. But 1 foot, 2 foot, I didn't know it mattered if it was the same foot.
Yeah, every time
I'm in the locker room. Go ahead, Mike.
I'm sorry. Every time you say that, I know what's next is going to be red foot, blue foot, or something. I feel like you're breaking into Dr. Seuss every time. But anyway,
well, listen,
sorry.
And it does say in the rule book, we looked it up, it says you must have both feet. Does that say two? It says both.
Okay.
Right. Yep. So it's clear there. But the funny thing was in the locker room, like I'm talking to these guys, and we're like, well, look, if you catch the ball and hold up a guy's leg, and the other leg is hopping 10 times, does not matter. He can hop 10 times. If he didn't put the other foot down, you drive him out of bounds like that, it's not a catch. And that was the one where they're like, this is ridiculous, right? So the craziest part of all this, though, was now I know I'm really getting old, because then I explained, I had no idea, I explained to Taron Johnson and Christian Benford today that there used to be a rule that if the referee thought you were going to come down in bounds, but you pushed the guy out, that they would count it.
Right.
Taron Johnson, I mean, he was like, what? He was laughing like, that is the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. There's no way that was a rule. I'm like, it was a rule, Taryn.
Yeah.
It was unbelievable. And Christian Benford's like, what are you talking about?
This is the Carolyn Shoup rule. We were watching a game. Cleveland, Arizona. Kellen Winslow Jr. made a catch in the end zone. And it didn't count or whatever it was. It was this play. And she's like, well, that's stupid. They should change it. So, you know, just
they did.
You have to be in bounds for it to count.
Yeah.
And they did.
It was that way for more of our lives than the way it is now, right?
Oh, yeah.
By a lot.
This is 2008. I looked it up. Okay. 2008 was the change. And then I realized, man, it's like these guys, right? They came in the league. You know, Taryn Johnson, he's even older than Christian. And Taryn came in what, 2019, I think it was, 18 or 19.
Right.
And that's 10 years after they changed the rule, right? He's probably 8 years old. He doesn't know at the time. Benford's looking at me, and Rasul Douglas knew it, though, which is no surprise probably to you guys. Rasul's like, oh, yeah, like totally subjective, like ridiculous.
It's the one rule change of our lifetimes that went against offense.
Yes.
Like now you have to.
Right.
I think my wife's argument was it's already too hard to officiate the sport efficiently.
Right.
Why make it that much harder by having the official have to guess where the feet were going to be? Why not just go by where the feet are?
Yeah.
That seemed like good logic.
Maybe we should just change it to if you leave your feet but end up, as long as you're in the field of play, when you leave your feet, you come down with the ball completely out of bounds, catch.
I don't want more.
Oh, that'd be a little harder to adjudicate.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Two maybe, though. I don't know to look at that. I will tell you, though, it was phenomenal watching the expression on Taryn Johnson's face when I explained to him about the old rule. Like, he could not believe it.
Quickly, Jalen Virgil. We do this every day. Did the name Jalen Virgil ever get said the whole summer? Well, he wasn't on the Bills till late August. But anyway, Shavers, the other guys, KJ Hamler, these guys we bring. Jalen Virgil gets the call in Seattle.
To basically go in motion a bunch of times.
Isn't that funny? Like every time he was on the field, he was going in motion somewhere.
Yeah.
You know, I have a thought on that. I just wonder if that's like, hey, we're going to do this. And then, you know, they never gave it to him. And then maybe down the road they have to use the guy and they give it to him, right? And they like they're kind of warming you up or setting you up for something. Look, I think that this might have come down to as well that you only get really two elevations. The third one you'd have to go through waivers to go back down to the practice squad for these guys, and they'd already elevated Shavers once, not Hamler. So maybe they just felt, you know, this was what they wanted to do in this particular regard. But also, look, I mean, you earn your spots, and the Bills will always say that. Hey, you practice all week, and you know, if there's a spot there, then you know, we'll elevate based on those things. And you know, he obviously earned it.
Virgil did play in 9 games last year. No, 2 years ago, actually, for the Broncos. So he has a little bit of NFL experience.
Yep. His first ever NFL catch went for a 66-yard touchdown, I believe.
Oh, that's when you hang it up.
All done.
I came here to accomplish that. I did it. I'm going at 2 feet in, both feet in, rather, and I'm moving on. All right, well, good for Jalen Virgil. Sal, thanks.
You got it.
All right, it's our man Sal Capaccio on the Wester Hotline. His appearances are always brought to you by New York's only outlet liquor. When you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case. What's your outlet?
I'm ready for a Justin Jefferson or somebody that's elite to do that play you mentioned where you just 1 foot 10 times just to show off, hop all the way to the end zone, and you haven't gotten your second foot down yet until you get to the end zone, and then bam. Are you not entertained? 803-0550, our number. What is the most promising sign about the Bills' season so far? Encouraging. Keon Coleman, we talked about the defense a little bit earlier when discussing this. Love to hear your thoughts. Again, the number, 803-0550. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR.
Yeah, not good. There's no place for that. I mean, simple as that. Like, come here, cheer, root for your team, whatever. no place for that. Should never have hands on anyone, and just not okay.
The Yankees manager Aaron Boone, his brother and I and Bulldog are friends. We know his brother pretty well.
That's what we're going with now.
Brett Boone.
All right.
He also played Major League Baseball.
Yeah.
I don't know if I know anybody better that ever played Major League Baseball.
Than Brett Boone?
Yeah.
Then I think you don't know anyone who ever played Major League Baseball then.
I played golf with Joe Hesketh once.
Right, yeah.
You got anybody that played in the big leagues? My great uncle was a pitcher for 8 years, but he died before I was born.
So right, so I knew him. No, I don't know.
You were born in 66?
65.
He died in 66, so maybe you did know him.
Close, yeah. I'll bet like you, I've come across people, but I don't remember. I don't think I have any relationships with anyone who played baseball really at any level.
Interviewed a couple of Bison's managers,
right? Sure.
Brett Boone is once a month.
If right, that's it. That's the top of the pops for us now.
What about Duke McGuire?
All right,
not the major leagues,
right? I guess I mean,
he was on the New York Knights.
I know him a little. I mean, he was happy I came to see everyone in the press box this year. Not really. He swore at me a lot, which was cool. I found it endearing because I'm the sort of person that swears at old friends too. Not that Duke and I are exactly old friends, but you know,
you're in the same club when it comes to that.
Yeah,
I just swear at old friends. I'm that guy.
I've got friends who
they almost did it.
Their kids are older now, but I've got friends who actually it's one friend of the family. The kids went to St. Mark's when they were little, and when she would be pulling down the street to go drop the kids off at school, if I was out there getting into the car or my truck with my boys to take them to school, she would drive by and give me the finger, and I would give it right back. It was our hello. It was our Go Bills. It's the thing, you know. Nothing, no animosity.
At least on your side of it.
I'm 100% confident on hers too. It was just an endearing flip off.
The endearing flip offs coming to a fantasy league 2025. 803-0550. What is the most promising, encouraging sign about this Bills season so far for you? We'll look for your calls here as we continue toward 7. I thought, I was not here on Monday and didn't think to mention this yesterday. I thought I would have bet even money that an NFL coach would have been fired this week after Sunday. I thought there were 3 or 4 guys that might have just lost their last game. Saints.
Okay, yeah.
I mean, they were 2-0. They're 2-6.
Mm-hmm.
And they've had lots of injuries. Maybe that's what's...
Yeah, their offensive line especially. I think like everybody on their line has been hurt. I don't know if they're all hurt at once, but they've lost everyone on that line, it seems.
And the quarterback, and Olave, and Taysom Hill, Juwan Johnson. Yeah, like, that's been a mess. So I thought that was possible, but didn't happen. I would say Jacksonville is still such a team.
I thought he was getting fired when they got back from England.
But they won that second game
in
England.
That's right. Yeah,
then they lost this game to Green Bay. They've got injuries now. He could be off the hook. Kirk out for the year. Brian Thomas might not miss, but hurt. Gabe Davis was hurt as well in that game, ETN.
Oh, Thomas could be back even this week, you think?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that.
Limited today.
All right, good. I got to keep an eye on that. He's been a crucial contributor to the Tunsil's gas mask brand.
You know, he maybe is the rookie wide receiver of the year so far.
Mm-hmm.
Neighbors is elite. Like, Neighbors is the guy you want so far. And Harrison is probably fine. But Thomas has really produced.
He really has smashed. Yeah, he's had some really big plays. The other guys have had their moments, but I feel like Thomas, like the highlights have been, whoa.
Coleman looks good. You know who else now is Leggett?
Oh, yeah?
Yep. A couple of good plays from him. Carolina's guy.
Who's the third coach?
You mentioned Dable.
Dable, yeah.
I don't know.
We talked about him quite a bit yesterday.
How much more, really, with Daniel Jones and the Giants? Like,
have they, not that it matters, but Did we not recently get, or am I combining even seasons and maybe even sports? I feel like I got a Wellington Mara or John Mara, whichever one of them is.
John.
John, thank you. Wellington's the founder of the organization, maybe, right? Okay, John Mara, the owner, Hard Knocks. I thought I saw something recently, like, moving forward into 2025 with Daboll and Shane, like, vote of confidence.
Uh-oh.
Like, we this is a project and we're here for it. I might have hallucinated that. I felt like I saw that somewhere as a headline. Maybe it was someone just kidding around. Maybe it was a fake aggregator account. I don't know. I'm just wondering if they got. Oh, Zach has got.
It was about a week ago, but he did somewhat voice a vote of confidence for both of them.
So, yeah, that
it's what they always do.
Right. That can be utterly meaningless, but at least it did happen. It's on the record that he said that.
Jerry Jones had that kind of meltdown after a recent Dallas game and was asked about making a coaching change during the season, and he got very angry. But he has done it.
Mm-hmm.
And they're 3-4. They lose in prime time to San Francisco. There's another team, like, how much longer? Very different than the Giants, but still.
Right,
like,
yeah.
I mean, teams really hate to do that.
Yeah.
But still, it didn't happen. I just thought, when I was watching football on Sunday, I thought there were some teams where it felt like maybe this would be it.
Mm-hmm.
But not so. What about Cincinnati for this?
I think if they miss, that's entirely possible that they do something. Because they're obviously committed to their quarterback and to their star receiver. I don't know. Everybody else is kind of unhappy, right? Higgins, Hendricks. I don't know if it's going to all hold together, but they could need to do something if they miss. And I could see Taylor paying the price there if they miss.
Did Chase ever get paid? No. Right?
All right. I said they're committed to him, but that has not happened yet.
I don't think they did it. Because he was holding out.
Right.
And then he went back.
And he just came in and...
Might have thought that that meant he got a deal, but no, he did not.
Okay.
He is signed through next year. It's a club option.
Right.
At $21 million next year, Ja'Marr Chase.
Which they would have already picked up. Yeah. Like they would have had to pick that up last spring.
Right.
Wow. Okay. I don't know that.
Burrow was asked today about trades, and he said, not my job.
Mm. Wow.
Which, you know, true,
yeah.
But there are ways of putting that.
I'll admit to some of this talk from a couple of years ago, kind of being wishful thinking, probably bitterness from them having beaten the Bills in that playoff game at the end of the 22 season, but I remember being skeptical about whether they were going to be able to keep it all together. Ownership. Do they have the money? They could want to. They might not have the equity to pay out a bunch of these contracts. Like, it's just not. It's not an ownership that's been, you know, like, as deep pocketed as a lot of the NFL has been. It's like Ralph Wilson was still, and that only gets you so far in 2024 in the NFL. I've always wondered whether they could sort of play in the big leagues with their star players. And so far, they've paid only one of those guys. Everybody else, right? Jesse Bates had to leave. Hendrickson's contract he was looking for an extension, I think didn't get one. I think I have to check and see when he expires, but I think he's another guy that could be walking very soon on them.
Also, Tekeo Spikes.
Yeah, that goes back a ways.
Yeah, but still, maybe a valid example.
Right. Well, Carson Palmer's one guy, sour grapes, whatever. But like, he forced his way out of there because of this point. And I know that's a very long time ago. That's even like pre-HD television, Carson Palmer on the Bengals. But the point is, it's still the same ownership. Nothing's really changed there. So they're still making tons of money. All teams in the NFL do. But I don't know if they've got the kind of billions you need to finance those giant contracts.
Well, that's all fine. The players know that. You know, the Bengals have a reputation. This might apply to the Sabres a little bit. Just mm-hmm. It can break ties in the wrong direction for your team, for morale. I wonder what Joe Goodberry is doing. I haven't talked to him in a while, just sort of to take his temperature on his team. Tomorrow's Halloween, though.
Yeah.
I don't think I'd call him tomorrow.
Hendrickson has one more year left, next year left. So, you know, him wanting producing and wanting a new deal is pretty reasonable, I think. And that has not happened.
803-0550 to call in once again. We were talking earlier about some of the more promising signs, encouraging signs about this Bills season. Also about the Colts move, moving on for now from Anthony Richardson. Is it right? Like, where is really the mistake, if there is one in that? I think there has to be one. Taking him out, putting him in the first place, signing Joe Flacco and not someone worse. What really was the mistake? Who makes the call? So we'll maybe get back into that. Big topic in the NFL. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here. The Sabres are next in action Friday night against the Islanders. This is WGR. I believe you told me yesterday about a fantasy result that was like 1 point.
Sorry, right? I'm just
Duran Duran?
Loving the Duran Duran.
Were you into them?
Not exactly, but
they kind of had crossover appeal.
Yeah, they came out of like the new wave scene in England that was on the heels of the punk scene, and so it was all one big. By the time it was being consumed by someone like me as a teenager, it was all sort of one big stew, like them and I don't know. There were a lot of bands that were in that like post first wave of punk. That seemed cool. Like they had the good hair and the cool suits and like.
I thought you would like the hair.
They looked good. Duran Duran, but they became very much just a more of a poppy interest than I sort of fell off. But the early stuff,
okay.
I like the early Duran Duran. What were you saying? Fantasy result? Yeah,
didn't you have a 1 point game?
We were sweating. I mean, Owen was asleep. Me like a psycho Monday night. I was up waiting because we had a 19-point lead going into Monday Night Football, and we were playing against the Pittsburgh defense. And, you know, right away, it was the punt return that said it. I was like, oh, this could be trouble. So I went and looked, like, oh, okay, well, it's late here. Fourth quarter, we're still up by four. Oh, here comes TJ Watt with a strip sack fumble recovery. That's two more. I'm like, oh, no. And then the last play of the game, like the Giants get the ball back again, which is I absolutely did not want. Like, just
right.
Please, Pittsburgh, keep the ball. Don't let Daniel Jones get sacked anymore. Well, he didn't get sacked, but he threw one more interception. That was one more point. And so the final score of the game was 169 to 168. The Steelers got 18 of the 19 they needed to catch us.
So there were 2 1-point games in our league this week.
Oh, really?
And I'm just checking both, and I don't see what I wanted to see. There were 2 stat corrections this week. I hadn't seen any all season. Maybe there were some for tackles, but there were 2 changes made to the stats, which, you know, ESPN, I think, might have, it was Field Yates who tweeted today's. It might have even been just exclusive to
their leagues,
but I don't know that. Theirs was the Chargers defense gave up the final score, I think, was 26-8. But the 2 points came on a punt team safety, not given up by the Chargers defense. And so I guess they don't count those points at ESPN. So they get 6 points allowed, which is a better number, better bonus than 8 would be. So if you have the Chargers defense, you got to bump up.
Okay.
And the other one was quick on Monday, I think. Where somehow in the Falcons game, they gave a catch to Mooney that actually was meant for Robinson. So if you had Darnell Mooney, you lost 1.6.
Wow.
6-yard catch, PPR. And if you had Bijan, you got 1.6 PPR.
All right.
That's a weird one. I don't know how that happened.
Yeah, that seems like a pretty big mess.
Yeah.
Although I was watching Game 4 of the World Series last night when the announcer on Fox wrongly credited the Yankee pitcher who had gotten the last out in a jam. I don't remember what inning it was, but the guy's walking off the mound. They show him, Is it Joe Davis? Is that the guy's name? The play-by-play guy who's in there with Smoltz. He says, Mark Leiter Jr. comes on for the final out. And he walks to the dugout. And I don't know Mark Leiter Jr. from the guy that it was at all. But I was like, oh, Mark Leiter Jr. Neat. You know, trade deadline acquisition. They go to commercial, come back. I'd like to make a correction. That was actually this pitcher, not Mark Leiter Jr. I'm like, you're calling the game. He just threw pitches. How did you not know who that was? What is going on here? That was seemed like a pretty big miss. Now, I didn't notice if during that last at-bat of that inning, if he was calling the guy Mark Leiter Jr. the whole time. I had no idea. Or if the graphic on the screen when he entered the game said, I didn't. I was sort of in and out of sleep, but I woke up as that inning was ending, saw that, and then heard the correction. I'm like, how does that happen?
This is where you need names on the backs.
This does not seem like something you should miss.
Maybe a tougher one, maybe easier mistake to make without names on the back.
Yeah, I guess.
But no excuse?
I don't want
to know who you want the announcer in the World Series to know who the players are?
At least the pitcher who just got the out, you were saying,
that seems fair.
Here's the windup. What? I mean, we all make mistakes, but that seemed like a pretty rudimentary one.
I, as you know, am extremely critical of many sports announcers. I haven't listened to him very much. I don't have a particular criticism of Joe Davis, except I can't hear him sometimes.
No, I know. Yeah.
I want his levels turned up. Like, I can't hear him.
Last night, I kept this on because I was interested. I mean, it's 6-4. You know, Freeman going to come up again. It's been so much drama, and I feel like I've hardly seen the World Series. I haven't really sat with it. So I had it on, and usually if I'm in bed, I'll be lying on my one side, and I've got my iPad propped up on my nightstand, and that's how I watch it. It's like, you know what? I can listen to the baseball game. If something happens, I rolled over on my other side. And if I'm not looking at it and like paying attention to which guy should be talking, I have a hard time telling Davis and Smoltz apart.
Okay.
Their voices sound very similar. And I realized this last night while I was lying on my side, not looking at the TV while I was listening. And like, which one is that?
Well, if it is similar like that, just Smoltz is probably the louder one.
Okay, right.
I can't hear the guy sometimes.
Noted. Yeah.
That should never happen.
No.
I listen to podcasts, really smart people, and too often somebody sort of just moves away from the mic. I don't want to say properly trained. Look at us. I mean, what is this we do? But still,
right.
You want to have somebody there who can normalize the audio so you don't have to keep turning it up and down to hear the conversation.
Right. If I do that, I did it for a reason, because I wanted to make it sound like I'm over here doing something else.
Yeah, I mean, just a seasoned pro. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, back after the update. This is WGR.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.